I've had a lot of different marriages come into my office. Not here. Hasn't been an over. There, y'all have more capable people, but in Southwest Arkansas, there's not a ton of capability. And but so people would come to just sit in their minister's office and talk about marriage, and they would say, "Our marriage is really struggling." And I would say, "Well, tell me what's happening. Let's talk about it." Is that what I'm supposed to say? Talk about it? Yeah. And so they do that. They talk. A lot of times what they talk about are circumstances around their marriage. So they'll talk about, "Oh, the bills are just stacking up. Our marriage is struggling." And I'll say, "Is your husband charging you for this? Is he billing you for this?" I won't say that, because that confused them just as much as it just confused you. But it's funny to me that sometimes we count bills, which are an outside impact on a marriage, as what's happening in the marriage. And oftentimes when you say the bills are affecting the marriage, what you mean is my marriage isn't, what we've been doing inside the marriage hasn't helped us be strong enough to fight against the outside. Like, we haven't been strengthening what we've got going inside, so that the outside force, it's like a boat. Is your boat strong enough to support the waves? That what is going on around it? Now, sometimes what they tell me isn't anything to do with what's going on outside the marriage. Sometimes they'll tell me, "My husband has been a jerk in my dreams. And I can't help you there." Because I don't know if you know this, but you write all of those. You're the writer, director, caster for all them dreams. But sometimes it's the circumstances. And man, I feel that in every relationship, every organization I'm a part of, every church, that you have what's strengthening you inside. And a lot of times the test comes from the outside. Can we say, and not just this past year? I mean, I've read your history, and the Glenwood Church has been through it, hasn't it? You look around you, and you see the empty pews. You see a balcony that's just a dangerous play place for children. And what I hear a lot is people telling me what used to be. Even heard it today in class. They were telling me, and rightfully so, it's neat to hear about. You know, if you got here late, you'd have to sit in the top, climb the stairs. You had to climb stairs as a penalty for tardiness. I think we should do that anyway. Just rope off the pews. I'm just kidding. I'd have to sit in the top sometimes. But what was? Kind of hanging on to that, right? Like a man who could tell you what he used to be. My brother and I were talking about it. My brother played college basketball. And we were talking the other day about how he used to be able to dunk two-handed quite easily. He's my height, and I used to be able to miss a dunk. I could brick a dunk. That was my claim to fame. He could dunk two-handed. He could jump out of the world, it seemed like. But we were talking about how, now, he said, what height goal do you think you can dunk on now? I said probably 9, I'm guessing. I mean, I haven't really tried in a while. And my dad has one of those adjustable goals. And we were at his house, so I thought, I'm going to go out there and see if you can get it. I put it on 9. Like, surely that's 12. So I wrote, put it down to 8.5. And 8.5, I could dunk two-handed on 8.5. But it was too extraneous. I thought, I'm not even trying 9. What's tough now? And we were talking about this. What's tough now is I might could do the exercises and train enough to where I might could get back up there. But getting down terrifies me. Landing after a dunk seems like a precarious situation. But just holding on to what was. Saying, oh, the good old days. We can say that about our marriage, about our children. I mean, those poor kids who had their parents tell them, oh, life was just so great when you were 3, and it's not now. No, it's not. You're an adolescent. It's exhausting. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Like, 2 and 3 was fantastic. We have 12, 11, and 6, and it's fantastic. And hopefully, when it's 16, 15 in math, it'll be even more fantastic. Like, we're just going to let it keep whatever's in front of you. That's the best you can do, because that's what's happening. And hopefully, I'm not just holding on to what was. We had a guy tell Rachel and I, probably a month into our marriage, he said, enjoy it, it gets worse. His wife was, it is yet to get worse. That's not a Hallmark card, by the way. Picture of a tree. It's yet to get worse. But holding on to what was and saying what used to be was the best. Circumstances can arise quickly. That's what happened on the lake. Circumstances arose quickly. And in this case, the circumstance was a squall. A quick storm that pops up. Waves get rough. And in the first century, it wasn't just like you had gone fishing and it got a little rough and you're going to have to now navigate it. The sea was a terrifying place. They thought, who or what is down there? And they equated the sea, the water, with evil. That's why in Revelation at the end, it says the kingdom, the city of God will descend upon the earth and there will be no more sea. That's why it's so important in the Genesis creation poem that God is speaking light into darkness and manipulating the sea. It's why it's so important that Moses walks up to the sea and he's standing there in front of between the sea and Pharaoh's army. And when choosing between the two, they said, I guess we're going to have to fight Pharaoh's army. And God said, walk through the sea. So when God parts the waters, when he stops the River Jordan from flowing, when God has constantly been conquering evil in these first century or in these ancient symbolic ways. Because God has constantly had power over the sea. And there they are on a lake, but terrifying just as much at night. Some of you have been on a lake at night and a storm came up and got a little nervous and you don't even believe that there's monsters down there. And a storm arises. It says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake. When they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, do not take that sentence lightly. How many of you have walked 3 or 4 miles, rowed 3 or 4 knots? I don't know, is that right? They'd rowed miles across the choppy water. It felt like they had been in it forever. And when it's dark on the lake, you don't know when the shore's coming. Just rowing. 3 or 4 miles. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. And the Greek here says, as they should have been. Not really, but it should. Because sometimes we're quite hard on the disciples. We'll say, well, they didn't believe this. It was I can't believe they didn't understand this. They were scared. They didn't trust. They were terrified to begin with. They were in a precarious situation to begin with, and then an unknown entity is just walking on the water toward them. If this being is powerful enough to have power over the sea, then he's more powerful than us, because we've been fighting these waves for 3 or 4 miles now, and we're not sure where we are. And here comes something. And they were afraid. Jesus lets them know immediately to not be afraid. Every version I see says, every translation I see says, it is I, do not fear, or do not be afraid. Something like that. It is I. But what Jesus says here is the same phrase he says later in the garden whenever they say, we're looking for Jesus, and he says, I am. And they all fall to the ground because he said, I am. Now that verse doesn't make sense. Them falling to the ground doesn't make sense if you translate it, it is I. And they all fell to the ground because he said, it is I. No, he said the name of God. He said the I am name of God. And they shook. And here comes Jesus walking across the water after he had just fed them. Now they are struggling in their boat against the waves on their own. And the I am says, do not fear. His claim to be God standing on those waves. And then he climbs in the boat and they get where they're going. They'd been through a lot. They'd had this mix up with the food. And Jesus fed the multitude. I did not mean to rhyme just then. I always hate it when I do that accidentally. He had distributed the bread. And now they were... That is such a big emotional thing. The crowd. And here they are now alone in their boat. And it's only the presence of Jesus in their boat that gets them where they're going. It's only the presence of the I am who calls on us to not be afraid that gets them where they're going. Fought the waves for 3 or 4 miles, and then Jesus walks up and says, I am, do not be afraid. And they arrive. You guys have been through a lot. I've only been here for 3 months, and it seems like we've just had disaster after disaster. And I don't know if your theory is true, if you just blame me. But, yeah, preacher, yeah, might as well. But it's been tough. And you go back before that, and your friends not coming back in those doors, not sitting in those pews again, that's tough. And that may take some time to grieve. But I want you to know something. I think that the people in this boat, as long as the I Am is with us, have no reason to fear about where we're heading. I think that we may fill up the balcony twice in the future. You know, once at 8:30 service where none of you will be, and the other at the 10 o'clock. We may double up. Or this may be the crew that God uses to do his work in this place. Our goal in the future is not to have these seats full. Our goal is to have Jesus in our boat. The other part of that will come or go however God sees fit. But our what we are invested in now is to have a direction, to know where we're rowing, to know that our immediate community, that these apartments over here, that we have our mind on them before, you know, eventually whenever we're not afraid to, you know, walk up to them and talk to them with COVID precautions. That we're serving this community in new and inventive ways. That we were working with other ministries in town, and they may not even have a Church of Christ label on them, but we're working with them because they're doing good work and we want to work alongside them. That we are rowing, but we are not afraid of what's to come because God is with us, because Jesus is in our boat and it is sturdy enough to handle the waves. And that takes prayer. It takes communion. It takes unity. A unity that surpasses uniformity. But what we have to know from the get-go is that when Jesus walks up, he has power over evil. Thank God I don't have to conquer all evil. Jesus has the power over evil in me, and Jesus is working on me. And the Spirit is convicting the world and working on the world, and we are going to be God's representatives to that world. This crew, and maybe some of you online when you get back with us, but God can use this crew to do great things. I do not want you to think, well, if we could just get back to where we were. Don't you think the disciples thought, oh, I'd much rather just be eating that plenty of bread than rowing these choppy waters? I want you to think, if we could just get back to where we were. Right now, we are where we are. And praise God that the I Am is with us. And we do not have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried. God is with us. We will not fear. Let's pray. God, I am so thankful for your your grace to us. Help us to have grace on ourselves. Help us to help us to know that you are with us, and that what we are right now, taking communion together, singing together, worshiping together, working together outside these walls, that God, you see that as good and beautiful and holy. God, we crave your presence. And whenever, wherever there is fear in us, God, get rid of it and fill us with your Spirit. Where there is worry or apprehension, drive it out. Part the waters of fear within us and fill us with your presence. God, we give you all the glory for what you are going to do through us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.